This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In many gatherings, khutbas, lectures that we have, and we speak about the important aspects of Islam, we speak about the role of the parent, the importance of the parent. And invariably in these talks or khutbas, we emphasize the role in the status of the mother, the importance of our mothers. And rarely do we speak about the importance and the status of the father. We speak often about the sacrifices of the mother, the importance of the mother. How the Prophet ﷺ told us, ummak, thumma ummak, thumma ummak, thumma abik. Your mother, then your mother, then your mother, and then your father. And of course, the mother, no doubt, is incredibly important in our faith. But the way that we speak about the father, or rather the way that we do not speak about the father, is almost in a way that overlooks the significance of the role of the father, in a way that the Quran and Sunnah did not intend for us to do. And this goes beyond just lectures and khutbas. This goes beyond just our bubble of a Muslim community. But even the broader community does the same thing. They dismiss the father and pretend as though the role of the father is unimportant. Baby books that you may buy that are meant to train new parents to learn how to become parents, to learn how to take care of babies that they are about to have, often speak as though the father doesn't even exist and is not important. We hear mantras in society, statements that are made over and over and over again, as though a belief system meant to make people assert this notion in their minds, where they tell women, you don't need a man. Meaning that you can have a family, you can do everything you want in your life, and the role of a man, a husband, a father, is completely optional. We see TV and movies consistently portraying the father as bumbling, as clueless, as a parent who has nothing to offer. Those of us who grew up here, whether you watched Fred Flintstones to Homer Simpson, the father was bumbling, the father was not intelligent, the father had nothing worthy to offer the children. And the intelligence, the wisdom, the nurturing only came from the mother figure. Either the father had nothing of substance to offer, or the father was domineering, cruel, harsh. In either case, it reinforced a stereotype that children are raised in spite of their fathers and not because of their fathers. Even public spaces that we see, like change rooms, washrooms, frankly, even the masajid, when we build the masajid, it's built with the idea that women are raising the children. Let's build a room for children next to the women's room. Let's build places where you can change the diaper of the baby in the women's bathroom, not in the men's bathroom. Because we're building it with the perspective that women raise children and men do not. Our legal system is the same way. If there's a divorce and there are custody hearings between the husband and the wife, the mothers have to be proven to be unfit to be caregivers. Whereas the father has to prove that he is fit to be a caregiver. It is as though the onus of proof is that the mother is capable of being a caregiver and that the father is incapable. So the father has to prove he's capable and the mother has to be proven that she is not capable. All of this has led to a perception, a presumption in society that fathers are incapable. It's baked into every facet of our society. And mothers are so important, they are the nourishment of children, no doubt. One of the challenges that a lot of fathers have is when the baby is born, they're so small and they're so weak and they need so many things that almost all of them, only the mother can give. Only the mother can breastfeed. And so the father feels from the very beginning, he's disconnected from the child. He has nothing to offer. And all of this leads to a lack of confidence. Men feeling like they don't really have a role in raising their children. There was a viral video, maybe a year ago or so. One of these men on the street videos, someone goes around asking questions. So someone went around to fathers, asking fathers questions about their children. Asking the father, how old is your child? He gets the answer wrong. What is the name of your child's teacher? He doesn't know. What are the names of your child's friends? He doesn't know. One of them, they even asked the father, what is the eye color of your daughter? What color eyes does she have? And he got the answer wrong. All of these answers, they're getting it wrong. Why is that the case? Maybe there's more than one reason. But one of the reasons is that fathers mentally do not see themselves as being a parent. It's not uncommon, something that you'll hear often. A father will say to his wife, to the mother of the children, you did a bad job raising these kids. You didn't raise these kids properly. As though the mother is the only one raising the kids, and the father has nothing to do with it. Many fathers also think, my job is to provide. My job is to put food on the table. And it's the wife's job to raise the kids. If that's the case, I want you to think about something. What is the difference in your role? If your only job is the provider, what's the difference between you raising your kids and if you have a pet cat at home, if you have a little cat at home? What's the difference between you raising the kids and you raising that cat? All you do for the cat is you give it the food. And all you do for your children is give them the food as well. Provide for them. Is that the entirety of your role as a father? I think we can all agree that your role, our role as fathers, has to be more than providing food. Has to be more than a farmer taking care of livestock. And so when we look closely, we see that not only are fathers incredibly important, but they have a powerful impact on religious socialization for children. The religious practice of children. There was one study on divorced families. And they found that the effect of religious involvement, when there was a lack of engagement from fathers, was significant, but not from mothers. So if the mother was not engaged in the child's life, their religiosity, they're going to the masjid, or they're going to church, or they're practicing religion, was not affected. But if the father was not involved in the child's life, that child was far more likely to not be religious. Far more likely to not go to the masjid or go to church or practice religion at all. There was another study that said that children were 10 times more likely to be religiously practicing if the father was religiously practicing as compared to the mother. And I know that many women know this. Why do I know this? Because many women will call me, email me, talk to me, and they'll say, we don't know how to make our husbands go to the masjid. We don't know how to get them to attend the halaqas. We don't know how to get them to be involved in trying to become better Muslims. Why do the mothers care? Why are they talking to me about this? Because they're the ones telling me, our children follow the father. Our children are more likely to go to the masjid if their dad is going there. Our children are more likely to pray if their fathers are praying. And so, the importance of the father is something that we have to grapple with, and we have to actually understand and start to implement. And maybe this is one of the reasons, and the knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but maybe this is one of the reasons why Islam does not permit a family where the father is not Muslim. meaning it is haram for a Muslim woman to marry a non-Muslim man. Maybe this is one of the reasons, because the religious socialization, the religious practice is so powerfully impacted by the father over the mother. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, al-walid awsatu abwab al-jannah, that the father is the highest door of paradise. And we see when we look at the Quran, so many examples of parenting, and almost all of them are examples of fathers and children. Just recently it was Eid, we were speaking about Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail. That's an example of a father and a son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. When he goes to Ismail, he tells him, I see the dream that I am slaughtering you. So what do you see? He asks his son, what do you think I should do? He's soliciting advice from a 13-year-old boy about a revelation he sees in the dream. And his son gives him the powerful words, اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do as you have been commanded, you will find me, inshaAllah, to be of those who are patient. You see a father who is giving his son, allowing his son to be involved in decision making. He's raising his son to be someone who's thinking through problems and solving problems with the father. Not that the father makes every decision to the exclusion of the child. We see Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam with his sons. And we see how the sons do this awful thing to Yusuf alayhi salam, and Prophet Yaqub is constantly advising them, admonishing them throughout their lives until the end they make tawbah and they come back to their father and they say, oh, our father, ya bana astaghfir lana dhunubana. Oh, father, ask Allah to give us forgiveness over our sins. We see these examples of parenting in the Quran, and they're almost always the father. And the most pointed example of parenting in the Quran is the example of Luqman alayhi salam with his son. And the advice that Luqman alayhi salam is giving his son. Again, reminding us, you, O father, you are incredibly pivotal in raising your children. You are incredibly important in raising your children. You are not just the bank account. You are not just the provider. You must be the example. You must be the one who is raising the child, increasing their skills and capability. You must be the one who is reminding and admonishing and giving them your life experience. And Luqman alayhi salam, you know, the scholars, when they talk about him, they say, most of them say he's not a prophet. He's not of the Anbiya. And if we accept this opinion, which is the majority opinion, that he is not of the Anbiya, it's actually more amazing. It's more amazing that there's an entire surah named after him. Even though Allah says in the Quran, وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, Allah tells the Prophet, there are rusul, there are messengers, we didn't tell you about him, about them. There are messengers, not even prophets. The messenger is higher than the prophet. Every messenger is also a prophet, not every prophet is a messenger. And Allah is saying, there are rusul, there are messengers, we didn't tell you their story. You don't know anything about them. And yet Luqman, who is neither a messenger nor a prophet, and Allah gives you an entire surah named after him. Why? Because he's an amazing father. Because he's an incredible father. Because he's an example of parenting his child as a father, giving advice to his child, so that we understand the role and the importance of fathers in the family. We cannot accept this notion that the father is optional. We cannot accept this notion that the father is ancillary. It's something that, you know, it's optional whether you have him or not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala kullukum ra'an wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'ayati." Indeed, all of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible for your flock. Wa ar-rajul ra'an 'ala ahli bayti, and the father is the shepherd over his house. You are the shepherd over your family. You are the one protecting them from the wolves. You are the one directing them, guiding them to the right path. And the mother is the shepherd over the children. But you have to be involved. You're not ancillary to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this example of Luqman. And as he introduces you to Luqman alayhi salam, he tells you he is a man of hikmah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ We gave Luqman wisdom. And wisdom is so important in parenting. And as fathers, we have to be ones that are the people of knowledge, of wisdom, purveyors of wisdom. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, wisdom al-hikmah, فِعْلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي It is doing what is needed in the way that it is needed and in the time that it is needed. How often as parents we just snap. We get angry. Something bothers us, we snap at our kids. All of us do it. We're all human beings. But we have to think about how are we bringing wisdom to the table? How are we providing our children what they need in the way that they need it and in the time that they need it? Your child is devastated. Something went wrong. They failed their test. And you go to them and you say, this is your fault. You didn't work hard enough. And you might be right. They didn't work hard enough. But when you say it to them at that moment where they feel so deflated, you're just deflating them even more. Maybe you wait a little bit. Maybe you tell them it's okay. You're gonna get another opportunity. And then later on you tell them, hey, remember how upset you were about that? About that test that you failed, about that competition that you lost? But remember you didn't work hard enough to win it? Let's work harder for the next time. You bring them what they need in the time that they need it. And wisdom requires what they call perspectival knowledge, which is understanding the perspective of your kids. Putting yourself in the shoes of your kids. How often have we done that? Ask yourself, what is it like to be a 12-year-old child? What was I like when I was 12 years old? What was I thinking about? What were my emotions like? What is my child feeling today when I'm talking to them? Putting ourselves in the shoes of our kids to empathize, to understand what they're going through is essential for us to be people of hikmah, for us to be people of wisdom, to give that wisdom to our children. We learn from his story as well, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Luqman is speaking to his child, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ He's giving him admonishment, مَوْعِذَ مَوْعِذَ implies emotional connection, that we are emotionally connected to our children. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَتَخَوَّلُنَا بِالْمَوْعِذَ He used to take care of us with his admonishments. Right? Like there was a emotional connection in the admonishment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even that they said that while he's taking care of them with the admonishment, meaning that he didn't give them too much information. He didn't overwhelm them. He gave them what they needed. He took care of them. He understood they need to hear something from me. I'm going to give them a short talk, something they're going to understand, they're going to be able to implement. We understand in the story of Luqman, these verses of Luqman giving advice to his child, all of a sudden the verses start speaking about the mother. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we enjoined upon man to take care of his parents. His mother carried him in weakness upon weakness, weaning him for 2 years. This verse, all of a sudden, in the middle of verses of Luqman giving advice to his son, all of a sudden there's a verse about the role and the value of the mother. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, nothing will help the child be more dutiful to his mother than the father. When the father is involved like Luqman alayhi salam. When the father is an educator like Luqman alayhi salam, he's educating his child, which is something very important for us to think about. Because modern education is you send your children to school. Someone else, some stranger is educating them. This is very modern. In the past, who was the educator of the child? It was the mother and father. The mother was teaching the child how to sew, how to knit, how to take care of the house, how to do the... The father, if he's a blacksmith, he takes his son, he teaches him how to be a blacksmith. If he's a farmer, he teaches his son how to be a farmer. The child is spending hours and hours and hours with the parent. The parent is the educator of the child. When we give all the education to someone else, then we are disconnecting ourselves from our children. I'm not saying take your kids out of school. Maybe some of you should take your kids out of school, I don't know. I'm not saying that necessarily. I'm saying you have to find your spot as being an educator of your child. You have to educate them in some capacity, in their Islam, in their schooling, in something. You have to find a way to educate that child so that you have that connection with your child. And when the father has that role, and he is honoring the mother, then the child is going to be able to honor the mother. When the father is not honoring the mother, then the child is going to have difficulty in honoring the mother. And so Allah, as He gives you this example of a father teaching the child, He gives you these verses about honoring the mother, because there's a connection between these. Sometimes, parents, and often in divorced families, they think, if I undermine the other person, I'm increasing myself. So the mother thinks, if I undermine the father, then the children will like me and respect me more. No, in the long run, you're undermining him and you. Sometimes the father thinks, I undermine the mother, I have more influence. No, you're undermining her and you. Rather, when you honor each other, then you are actually increasing the influence of both of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the example of Luqman teaching the child about tawheed and shirk. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. We see him as well teaching the child about discipline, about consequences of the actions. Ya bunay, inna antaku mithqalu habatin min khardalin fatakulu fi sakhratin aw fi as-samawati aw fi al-ard yati biha Allah. That he tells his son, oh my son, if you did an action that is the weight of a mustard seed, and it was inside of a rock, deep into the earth, or up into the heavens, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah is going to bring it forward. Meaning, even if you did something so small, and you hid it away from everyone, no one could see it, down in the depth of the earth, or up in the sky, no one knows about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to still take you to account. And the father has a role as a disciplinarian, has a role of reminding the children of the consequences of their actions. Reminding the children that even if the teacher didn't see it, even if the father didn't see it, even if the policeman didn't see it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take you to account. And preparing our kids to face up to the consequences of their actions. These are important roles that the father has to take. Likewise, he teaches his son about da'wah, about going out and giving da'wah. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Oh my son, establish prayer and enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil and be patient over what will afflict you. And he teaches his son about how to deal with people. How to deal with people, how to treat people. To not be arrogant. To be someone with humility. Do not turn your cheek in contempt towards people. And do not walk in the earth arrogantly. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are self-deluded and boastful. And so we see in this, these powerful rules, even if you take, I implore you to go and read Surah Luqman, one page, the advices of Luqman, one page. Each ayah is an area of focus for you as a parent and especially a father. Tawheed and shirk. Talking to them about the basics of aqeedah, the basics of their faith, you need to take this role. He talks to the child about honoring the mother. He talks to the child about gratitude. Teaching your children to be grateful for what they have. Being a role model in you yourself being grateful so that they can be grateful. Teaching the children about establishing prayer, the relationship with Allah, and giving da'wah. Talking to the children about how they treat other people, being arrogant and not being arrogant, being humble. And how they walk and how they talk to other people. All of these things, they're etiquette. All of these things are areas that we should take and focus as parents and as fathers, especially about how we are teaching our kids. فَأَقُولُ قَبْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرُ لَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ